Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I was thinking this morning, getting ready, that one of the most important days that we celebrate is coming up.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, it was 50 days after Passover. Came Pentecost, celebration of Pentecost. And it just so happens, nothing with the Lord is accidental or coincidental. That the Holy Spirit came in the upper room on the 120, 50 days after crucifixion of Jesus, or his resurrection, and his resurrection. And I don't think there would ever be a more important occurrence on earth or ever again than Calvary, Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, and what it means. But the next thing is Pentecost. Jesus said, the gift of the Father will come, and it's another helper that would be with us, in us, around the world. And what a start for the church, the Lord's church. That was the beginning of it. And I don't know why I kind of woke up thinking about that. And it is an awesome thing. It's a gift of the Father. Jesus said to tarry in Jerusalem, to the apostles, the disciples, until the Helper, the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth comes upon them. And that was the beginning of the church. And it was not only to bring gifts and power and fire of the Holy Spirit, but to give us strength for witnessing, being a witness unto everybody for the Lord Jesus. So I am here today. I just want to thank you, Father God, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for that gift. We have so many things to thank you for, Father God, for your precious Son, Jesus, in whom we have our salvation. And the Holy Spirit, we have direction, we have power, and it is the Holy Spirit, it is you, Holy Spirit, that leads us to the reality of Jesus and what he means to us. So,
amen.
Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us every day of our lives. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I read our Psalms today, I want to encourage people that I know right now is a very trying time for people. People have lost their jobs, lost loved ones, just lost a lot of different things. And being isolated and being at the stay-at-home order, it's been tough because there's times when you want to celebrate things. And I think about our graduate of 2020. And I think about the birthdays and the baby showers and the babies that are coming into the world and, you know, wedding anniversaries and weddings themselves. They've all been put on hold. But God has a plan in all of this. And I shared with someone today that a lot of us are struggling and say in ourselves, man, boy, I just wish it would just go back to normal. Do we really want normal?
No.
is a question to ask, because were you really happy 3 months ago with your life? Was everything that you thought was normal good? I believe God has taken this thing of coronavirus, and I would like to say that God did not bring this virus upon his people. That is not his character. Satan, however, has. But God always has a plan for a way out.
Amen.
He is the God of healing and the divine love. And if you go back to Egypt, where the Egyptians were under Pharaoh's thumb, what did Pharaoh represent? Fear, oppression, and bondage, and death. But what did God do? He brought everything around, and he pulled us out of Egypt to take us to the promised land. And if you really look at that, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to reset the clock to pull us out and put us in the promised land. And I think even though we don't understand everything, and even though that some things can be very frustrating, you got to praise him in the storm.
Amen.
And you got to be thankful. I don't want to be in the wilderness and wander around for 40 years and complaining to go back to Egypt, because there really isn't anything there for me.
Amen.
I don't want to be back in oppression, and I don't want to be back in bondage. And I don't want to be the puppet. Because if you think about it, slavery is being a puppet. God wants us to have freedom. Freedom. And I think with that, it starts with being thankful within our hearts.
Amen.
For everything. And so the psalm that I was given by the Holy Spirit to read today was Psalms 136. So if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to 136. Thanksgiving to God for his enduring mercy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the gods of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. To him whose wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever, the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel,
amen,
among them, for his mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea into two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Shahan, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state. I want to stop there for just a second, because a lot of us are in that lowly state. But what does God do? For his mercy endures forever. And rescues us from our enemies.
Hallelujah.
For his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Karen. It's something to hold on to, isn't it? And to remember that his mercies and his grace are everlasting. You know, the Lord really placed on my heart to talk about being a mighty warrior. And I saw this, and what I liked about it was I saw the fire behind it. And if you don't understand the fire is the Holy Spirit. And you see, God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our guide. He's the one who tells us when we're doing something wrong to turn and go on the rightful path. And you know, I remember working with when the kids were here, and they were very young, and talked about the armor of God. But I want to encourage you today that as adults, because all of us in here are adults, that we need to put on the full armor of God every day.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you to open up the Word of God and read it. For me, I read it in the morning and I read it at night. And what I love in our household is that either Joe and I have some prophet or we have some Christian music going throughout our house. And I can tell you that our house is peaceful. You want peace in your house, you need to pray. You need to seek his face. And you need to fill that area with praise and worship. And this Tuesday, when we have prayer, we pray for whatever the Holy Spirit lays on our heart. We also pray over Benzie County. We pray for everybody in leadership. We pray for the President of the United States and all of his cabinet. We also pray for people who are leadership here in Benzie County. And we also pray over the world map. And sometimes the Lord will lay on our hearts specific nations or island nations or whatever, and we pray, and we proclaim the word over them, and we proclaim the fire of the Lord. So anyways, I prepared this, and the Holy Spirit guided. And then before I went to bed last night, I said, you know, Lord, when did I talk to Hilltop Tabernacle people about spiritual warfare? And the Lord told me in 2018. He also said in November of 2019, you spoke again, specific tools that we are to use in combating the enemy. Well, I got up and I had to get a drink. And as I got ready to go out the door, I found my sermon sitting on the desk. Not the one I prepared for today, but it says spiritual warfare on it. And it showed me that I did it again in November 3rd of 2019. And I thought to myself, what is that doing on my desk upstairs? So I thought there must be something in here that the Lord wanted me to say again. And so I have these chairs in the room, and I sat down and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he really spoke specific to me. And I'm going to share this with you. Now, you know that when I speak here from the pulpit, I'm not just accountable to the people that are listening this morning, but I'm accountable to God. And the price is heavier. So that when I stand before him, I take it to heart that I tell you the true word. There are lots of people, God bless them, that just kind of pat you on the back and say, hey, have a good Sunday, have a good this, have a good that. Well, I don't do that. I might encourage you, but I'd like to get in the Word. What does the Word say? And with what I say, if it can't be backed up by Scripture in the Word, forget it. Because I am a daughter of the King. And I do come with a message for you. And the message is, he's putting an army together. And are you ready? We don't know. We don't set dates when Jesus is coming back. But I'll tell you what. I believe it's close. And I believe our hearts have got to be right. And I really feel from the Holy Spirit that he's calling his church to be purified. He's causing a fire within his church, because that's where he starts first, is he wants us to clean up our act.
Amen.
And then when we got ourselves together the best we know how, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can go out and be that light. We can be that salt out there. But he has to work on us. And I really believe with all my heart that the Lord is saying, wake up. Get fired up.
That's right.
Get ready. And I was sitting there thinking of how the Lord wanted me to present this today. And I'd like you to open up to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 24. Now, I really believe in my heart this is talking about the armor of God. And I don't care how many years you've known the Lord. I accepted the Lord when I was 7 years old. And I'm still in love with the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm telling you, every time that I get in the Word, I go, oh, I never saw that before. Oh, that's cool. Or, you know, the Lord will explain it a little bit more to me. And I go, wow, you know. It's because the Bible is alive all the time. It's full of power. It's living all the time. Someday will be our time when we go and be with the Lord. But this Bible is going to continue. The Word will continue, which is Jesus Christ. But, you know, it just seems like there's so many storms. Last year, there were so many storms all around us. And all that I knew to do was to pray, stand, pray, stand. It was like every door that you tried to open up, it just seems like, wow, it was shut like in your face. And then all of a sudden, you know, someone would call and say, hey, how about doing this or how about doing that? And I made up my mind this year that I was going to get the word out no matter how I could do it, however the Holy Spirit would allow it. We've always podcast. I'm amazed when we get letters from, you know, from other states asking us to pray. It just blows my mind. And then I ended up, and I kept it to myself. I didn't tell anyone. But I ended up getting this message, someone saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say we're going to have a victory over this virus? Who do you think you are that you can do the elevation song that says, I'm going to have a victory? And I feel that way.
Amen.
I'm going to have a victory.
That's right.
You know, I didn't really know how to respond because the human side of me would have liked to give a peace of mind. But the Lord says, pray about it. Let it go. Let me handle it.
Amen.
And it's powerful. And I've learned the hard way doing that. Because when you're in leadership, you just want to see things happen. Oh, let's go, come on. And what I've had to learn is to wait upon Him, understand His timing, trusting in Him. With all my heart, I can tell you He's never let me down.
Amen.
I shouldn't be behind this pulpit today. I think of how many times Satan's tried to wipe me out, literally take my life. And I've just pursued, I just called on Him. When I couldn't even, say, Jesus, help me, I could say it inside my head, Jesus, I know You're there. Jesus, I know You're my healer. Jesus, I know You're going to take care of me. And I want to encourage everybody that's here today that you can do the same.
Amen.
And He's asking you to get in that presence. Into that presence. I don't know about you. I hate the phone. Oh, I just can't stand it. And it's nothing for me to get 50, 60 telephone calls a day. You gotta be kidding me. How do you answer all those calls? So some of the people are kind. And it'll say, you know, you must have been busy or whatever, but I'm going to find you one way or another. And some people, oh, you know, they just make you feel bad. But what I've learned is do the best that you can do. Give the rest to God. And it works. Spiritual warfare is all-encompassing. And it touches every area of our lives. And if you're not in spiritual warfare, then you're not doing things for the kingdom. We should be in spiritual warfare for our families. A soul. We need to be in spiritual warfare, as Mary Hahn is in here today, for the babies that are no longer here. I believe their soul is with Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for that. We need to be in prayer over relationships. You know what? This is a time to forgive people.
That's right.
And you know what? It's not for them, it's for you.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to know that I didn't forgive this person or that person, and that's what caused me from having an effect on my relationship with Jesus. The other thing I put down here, we should be warring for our church. There are so many churches here in Benzie County. And we still have people taking their lives, people that don't want to live. We have drugs on the land. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to see a victory in this.
That's right.
It's going to be gone in Jesus'
That's
name.
Right.
But it's never going to happen until we get back to the altar.
That's right.
I don't care what you bring to this altar up here. And maybe that I'm not coming across the way I want. You don't have to tell me your whole story, but how many times has it been that we come and we just bow our knees because we don't know what to do? Your altar can be in your room. The altar can be wherever, but we should never forget the altar, because until we humble ourselves, God can't move. The Lord also placed on my heart that we need to be warring for our neighborhoods, as I've said, our communities, our place of employment. There's virtually no place that warfare is not going on. The evil wants to wipe you out. Don't. I try to say that to kids when we have the kids here. Satan doesn't care whether you're young or old. He just wants to wipe you out. But God has a destiny, a purpose, a plan for all of us. The other thing that I put down here is Jesus longs to reign in our lives. We have to make Him first. He's got to be the most important person in our lives. And one of the things that I put down here is the battle is the Lord's, because truthfully, people, it was finished on the cross. And it was finished. Every sin, everything that you did was nailed to the cross. So today the Lord wants me to talk about the armor. He wants me to talk a little bit about weaponry. And it's for one purpose, and that's to be victorious. In Romans 8:37, I'll just give you that in case I don't get into it. But we are more than conquerors, not in ourselves. But we are more than conquerors because of Him who loves us. That's what the Word said. He loves us. The war is already won, but we have to stay on our knees and cry out to the Lord. Cry out for the souls. Cry out for what's going on. I put down here, I suppose you could say it's time to take the high ground and capture the city, the capture of what's going on in Benzie County, to drive back the enemy and claim the territory for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! But I want you to think back to the time when the battle was mainly fought in open fields. We don't think about that. It was evil and good coming together on the open fields and fighting. So you had to have the right armor on. And Paul says that we have to stand. Four times he says that in the Word. Sometimes we Christians get battled out. We get weary. We're not to be weary. When we get in before the Lord, He's to strengthen us. And we have to, I can't remember a long time ago that the battle, the army, everything that goes on, you know, the musicians went beforehand and prepared the way. The angels go before us and prepare the way. Hallelujah. So anyways, let's look at Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians 6. Verse 11. Let's go up to 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we do, this is important, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod in your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Capital S, the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. And I love this. For which I am an ambassador. Do you know that you are an ambassador of Christ? I love talking about that. You know, if you really study the names of the Lord, I was asked to speak at a woman's conference, I put down, you are an ambassador of the Almighty God. You are an ambassador of El Roy. You are an ambassador of Elohim. They didn't even know what that was. They didn't even know, never been taught the names of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? They just didn't know. That's power. When you can go through all his names, all his titles, it's like weaponry. It's like the Word of God says that every spirit that is not of God has to bow down to his name. I don't know about you, that's powerful. That no spirit is bowing down to Marie. It's bowing to Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you don't have the enemy coming at you, then they're scared of you. And I love giving you the example that when we did the tent revival, we had prayed and fasted and done everything, and I was walking through and there was a witch that had come that wanted to put a spell on me. And it was really amazing, and as I'm walking through, the Holy Spirit is all over me, and I looked and I said, you have no power and authority over me. You can stay in this tent revival, but you can't harm anybody in this tent revival. And I spoke it out. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you belong to. You have to know that he's inside of you, outside of you, that he gives you boldness to speak. And you got to speak it out. I know that every witch and warlock that lived here on Holy Road is gone.
Amen.
I did a prayer walk. My husband was with me. Karen was with me. And we were walking up and down this Holy Road, and sometimes, because I have the gift of discernment, sometimes when something is evil, I know it. And we're walking, and all of a sudden, I got sick. I truthfully might gross you out, but I just wanted to vomit. I could smell a stench of death that was awful. And I realized that there was a house on this road who lived in that house. They were evil. I prayed them out of here. The druids that were over here, prayed it out of here. I just wanted to say, Lord, couldn't you just move us somewhere else? Why are you putting Hilltop Tabernacle in such a devastating area? Why? Because when you want revival, it comes to the hardest areas. It comes when there's depression. So the first song that we've been singing is, oh la la. Let's have revival.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's get souls saved for Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah,
yeah,
that's what it's about. I don't care if you like me or not.
That's right.
I don't even care. You see, because I have a purpose. I have a purpose for the Lord. And if you don't use me here, he'll use us somewhere else. I've walked with them too long. 40, 50 years. On play gates. A soul is so valuable. But every day we come under attack. And the Lord wants us to know that we have to be prepared. And if you don't spend time in his word, you're not going to be prepared. Also, I want you to know that when those attacks come, we are to, one, be strong, put on the armor, stand firm, take it up, take up the word, pray, and we got to be alert.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I don't, just turning that idiot box off. Well, yeah, really? Sometimes you have to. But sometimes you have to know what's going on to pray about it. Some things are done done for us in truth, in righteousness, salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Didn't even have to earn it. It was free. So, some things we take up in order to actively do what he wants us to do, and that's to fight in his great name. Can't remember when it was, Joe hears me, and if you've been in this church, you know. But the Holy Spirit, I was invited to speak at the National Day of Prayer, and the title was His Great Name. Never heard one song about His Great Name. Not one. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus is the only answer. It's in Him. And that was the National Day of Prayers coming up again. I don't even know what the title was. We're to be strong in the Lord and in His might. In Acts 19, verse 14, we can't be strong in our own power. So when we fight the enemy, I don't know about you, I just say, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. It is so important that we understand that. If Jesus was to literally walk in this room, would we know him? We should. We should know him. The other thing that I put down here is I've listed all the things about putting on the full armor of God and read it. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, you know, hey, I guess I'm really kind of finished with this and everything. But I don't know about you. Have you noticed how things are just happening suddenly? Like, all of a sudden, you're kind of like, where'd that come from? Oh, I didn't know that was happening. We have to be alert. We have to be able to pull out of this tool belt that I heard someone speak about. We need to be able to pull out the Bible. We need to be able to pull out the verse. We need to be able to, you know, pull out his name. And I always tell this to everybody. It's the blood of Jesus. Claim the word, claim his great name, that's the word, and the blood of Jesus, and every enemy has to bow down, because that's what the word says. I love, and I wish I had more time, and I've been, you know, I just really felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you that one of the greatest weapons is prayer. One of the greatest weapons is prayer. That is the sword of the Spirit. How can I say it? Sometimes our Tuesdays turn into 3-hour prayer time.
Easily.
5 hours.
Easily.
Easily. It's not a 20-minute in and 20-minute out and okay, see ya. It's like all of a sudden the presence of the Holy Spirit will come. And we start praying about things or people or situations. Prayer is a powerful weapon. I used my grandma, you know, my mom was a preacher's daughter, and my grandma was just great. And when my grandfather got done preaching, he came home and I told you, oh goodness, he had to pray for the church all over again before we ate every time. He'd say, Grandma, you know, you have to pray. I thought we were praying for all the people in the church, but never pray enough. You never pray enough. And I always heard that. And then when my grandfather passed away, he just sat in his chair and was gone. And so I made a promise to the Lord that I'd take care of my grandma. My grandma lived 25 years longer than my grandfather. And my grandma always prayed. And when I'd get all worked up when I was young, she'd say, Mom Marie, take it to the Lord in prayer. And that stuck with me all these years. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. Sure answered a lot of prayer with me. I'm happy God gave me Joe. Everybody's heard me talk about it before, you know, when my babies were little and, you know, they'd get sick. It always seemed like it was 1, 2, 3 in the morning, you know. Nothing was open, and I remember Joe and I picking up our babies and praying, and, you know, we were in a spirit-filled church for 30-some years, and we'd walk up and down the aisles in our house, you know, with our babies and just pray, and it always seemed like, hey, you know, excuse me, when you wanted to give a, or you were in a program or whatever, it always seemed like he attacked the kids in the place or whatever, and people had to scramble and, you know, all that. And what I learned is this: you can always go to him in prayer no matter what's going on. It's amazing when he takes care of. But you have to be willing to leave it with him. Leave it with him. I've talked about that in here before. I also ask you to pray for Jonah. Pray that God keeps us on the right path. That we expect people to do that. We pray for every church in this area that we know of, because we're all humans, and I'm sure we'll fail you some way or another. But you know, don't put your eyes on me. Don't put your eyes on Joe. Don't put your eyes on eldership. Don't put your eyes on Karen. Put your eyes on the King. Put your eyes on him. Because you know, if one minute you're in a certain church, then all of a sudden you decide to go to another church and you haven't let all that stuff go, you just bring all that crap to the other church. Come on, let's get rid of it. But we're to pray and we're to love. And you know, we can only love people when we understand love. And we allow God to love us. I had great parents. I had loving parents. You know, we are a big family. There were 8 of us. But my mom and dad were just wonderful. Not because they're gone now, but I really had good parents. I never had any problem understanding Father God, because I had a great father. You see, people that have trouble are people who don't know who Father God is. You've got to trust him. And I really believe that prayer does that. I want you to know that God's love will go on forever. It'll never die. He'll always love us. Amazing, isn't it? So how does Satan really attack us? He attacks us with lies. He falsely accuses us. He can plant thoughts in our mind that someone is mad at us or doesn't want to talk to us, or Satan plants temptation on us. He even attacks us in ways that we're not even prepared for. And one of the things that I learned is that Satan fights with guerrilla warfare. And I thought, Lord, I don't know anything about the wars. I only read about them. I never was in a war. My husband was in war. Guerrilla warfare, hand-to-hand battle contact. I wrote this down, that no matter what the tactics are of the enemy, we can have the victory if we keep our eyes on Jesus. And I love that. And if I may, in 1 Peter 5:8-9, we have to have some control of ourselves. It says, be controlled. Be self-controlled and be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's looking to devour, and he don't care about age. So when you pray, pray that the Holy Spirit protects you. One thing I love is worship. I'm a worshiper. I love to worship. In fact, when I was, it was in December at the International House of Prayer. Sometimes I get kind of loud. Sometimes a little strong. But I love to worship him. That's warfare. That's a weapon. To worship him. When you don't know what to do, I tell people, get on the radio in your car, get a CD, and let that worship just come into you. Let it set you free. Worship's powerful. And the other thing is His presence. And I wrote this, and I'm going to read this. I'm going to be sure I covered everything we're going to cover. The one thing I put down here, the Lord said, this is for somebody. But He said, when you put on the helmet of salvation, it's also to protect your mind. And Satan wants to destroy our minds so we can't think straight some days. Do you ever have any of those, I just call them old age moments? The Lord doesn't want us to have that. He wants us to have a sound mind. And the Lord said that there would be someone in here today that you're so full of what's going on that it's actually derailing your purpose. Because He has a plan for you. So whoever that person is, I want you to know that we have to take these thoughts and we have to say, Lord, clear my mind. Let me think of You. What is it that You want me to do? Go before me. Help me out. As I've said earlier, truth protects integrity. And you know what? Righteousness protects your reputation. And the gospel of peace, it guides us step by step. I love to do that. I always tell people, read a proverb, read the Psalms. The Lord will take you through the Bible. The Holy Spirit guides you. And I also put down this last night before I went to bed. There's levels of faith. When I was a little girl, I had this kind of faith, you know. But as I got a little bit older, He took me to different levels. I had to trust differently. And He takes us through this process of trusting in Him. When everything around us is falling apart, we have to have that faith to trust in Him that He's going to take us through it. Isn't that powerful? I really felt like the Lord wanted me to say that this morning. So I want you to do some declaring here for a moment. I don't know if most of you here from this church, you know, I believe in decreeing and declaring, and that's setting it in the atmosphere. And I want you to say this, I declare that sickness and diseases are far from me. My mind is fortified. My emotions are stable. And my faith is steadfast. And I am complete because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The zeal of the Lord will fill me today and carry me through every day. Amen. And I put this down too. The Lord says, I will defend the weak. I will defend freedom. I will sacrifice so that others may live freely. I will defend my family to the death. I love peace, but I am a fierce person. I live by special code. I live with honor. And I was born to be a warrior. So are you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.